It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 474 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, it's the return of Marvin Wynn from The Edge, now with Second Sight Publishing. Marvin and I talk about what this new start means for this popular comic, which is indie and has been going on for quite a long time. And Marvin's been doing a great job with it and has a lot to tell us about what's coming in the months ahead from The Edge. He also describes what's happening with Second Sight, and we get into several of the books that'll be out in the next few months, so be sure to pay attention and check out their releases at secondsightpublishing.com. But be sure to listen to what Marvin has to say before you do that, because I'm sure you're going to enjoy all he brings to this episode. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Marvin Wynn from The Edge, which is now with Second Sight Publishing. How you doing, Marvin?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good to talk with you again. Last time I talked with you, you were about to head to Pittsburgh for a convention. And unfortunately, right about now, I don't imagine you're going to be doing that for a little while.
We're hoping that we're going to get a con out this year. There's one that's usually in May, so it's a possibility that we could do one outside in the parking lot. So fingers crossed that we're able to get at least one con off this year, or maybe more.
Be nice. I've just talked with some folks, and they're starting to do signings at conventions and at the stores and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe that's a sign that things are starting to open up a little bit, which would be nice.
Right. We did a few in-store signings. I mean, we're still looking at here in Pittsburgh. Still, the social distancing is still can only have minimal people inside of a location. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is that if we can, once it gets warm out and we're not buried under snow and ice like we are right now, we can do something outside. I mean, the only difference is not nobody like umbrellas and everything to keep the sun away.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm down in Florida, and when it gets anywhere near freezing, freak out down here. Unfortunately, you guys, because I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, which is the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area, and I'm used to that. I only had one green Christmas when I lived up there, and that every other one was white and then some. So that's the way it goes up that way. So you guys have another month, and then things will start to warm up a little bit and clear out, and that'll be nice. So The Edge, in case people did not get to hear your previous interview with me, why don't you tell people what The Edge is about?
So The Edge is a book pretty much based around my fondness and love of 90s comics. So the basic premise of the book is that you have this drug called The Edge, which while it gives you abilities, the more you use those abilities, the more it drains your body, and chances are you're going to die from it. So our first arc is called Revenant, and the character Revenant has escaped. He used to be an agent of the government. He left the team, ran off into the wilderness, and is pretty much setting up to take out the guy who he blames for all his problems, which would be Tartable. So Tartable has put a team in between them two, and it's just going to be a matter of what's going to happen near the end or at the end. Are they going to stop Revenant? Are they going to help him to spread the problems of the Edge further out into the world? It's just a lot of what's going to happen next, because it's all of everything in this book is about escalating to other things.
Mm-hmm. And superheroics and good action and stuff like that. That's one of the things I loved about your book, is that it doesn't stand still for very long.
No, we don't have a lot of the standing around filling up the page with captions and people trying to explain their motivations. We want to show what their motivations are. We want to show and not tell.
The Hollywood way of doing things. That's right. That's a good way to do it, especially in comics, which are a visual medium. I you know, when I turn, honestly, I tell Puppy this all the time, when I turn a page and there is this sea of gray looking at me with all these word balloons, many times I just go, okay, they'll explain what happened there. I just keep going and I don't read that page. So I prefer action, do things. If you've got a good artist, the artist can display what the person's thinking as far as the emotions and what they're thinking going to have happen next. So to me, you know, that's always a sign that the artist says, hey, the writer says the artist isn't going to be able to get it the way I want.
Well, yeah, and that's the good thing about the artist I work with, Mark, is that we have a really good rapport going on, and he gets how to set the camera up. And it's like making a movie sometimes where we're both the director and we're both the cameraman, but I'm giving her first chair at the camera and allowing him to point it where he wants to point it. I mean, there's been times where I've changed the script based on changes he's made. But I mean, as I said in the past, like I think there's one time and on one page where I asked him to make a change just to make it fit better on what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as I remember, one of the great things I like about The Edge is its diversity of characters. Lots of people of different makes and models and builds all in it, which I really like about it. And, you know, if I remember correctly, that was intentional on your part.
Well, it's intentional. And then sometimes I let the character speak to me and say that who they are. I mean, when I'm thinking of creating a character, it's more along the lines of what works for the character we're trying to create. So as we move along, we're bringing all different kinds of different people into the book from all over the world. And that's true to the point of where I'm saying that things are escalating. Mm-hmm. It's encompassing. It starts off in small locations and then encompasses the whole entire world with this problem. Mm. So if you have the whole entire world involved, you have to have different people involved.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how long have you been writing The Edge?
I actually started writing probably back in 93.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't anywhere where it is now. I did a lot of revisions on the book before Mark and I really I didn't meet Mark, and we didn't get really started until 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 18 so years of mm-hmm. Adding things, taking things away, seeing things that didn't work, and just trying to fine tune what the message is, what I'm trying to say in this book. Because I would say personally to myself that the first thing I wrote wasn't good. It was too cliche. It was too based around, like I said, that I'm like it's based around 90s books, but it was too much of kind of just repeating things that I'd seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you're starting out, I hate to tell you that's you go with the safe and the stuff you know. Right. And, you know, I'm sure if we read Scott Snyder's first writing, we'd probably go, ooh, you know, I remember seeing Bruce Timm. One of his early art when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew something very similar to that. And I said, that mean I'm going to end up being Bruce Timm? No. So, but you know, we all kind of start some places and our talent and our ability kind of moves us in different directions. So,
right. I mean, it's practice and repetition. And maybe one day when I do one of the trades, I'll actually publish some of the pages from the original book and just show that, I mean, it's like you said, when you start out, I mean, what I want to tell people is that when you first start out, the first thing you do is going to be trash. And if you just admit that to yourself mm-hmm. and say that I can get better, you get mm-hmm. better. Because I would like to show what I used to do, but I'd like to use it as an example to say that, I mean, this is from the beginning and this is what I was writing then and it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. This is where I started.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not still there. No. which is, you know, a lot of artists, it's funny when people do books and they go back and look at them again after a time has passed. They often sit there and say, oh, I can't believe I did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and oh, no, I wish I could go back and change those pages and stuff like that. Some people actually do go back and alter the page. But, you know, sometimes it's a little jarring when suddenly, you know, the artist who drew something 10 years ago does something in his current style. You know, it just sort of stands out when you're reading the book.
Right. And I mean, that's what we decided to do is that when we joined up with Second Sight, I didn't want, because we've pushed out that first issue of The Edge a few times, and I didn't want to push out that same book again. So we went ahead and redid the whole book.
Oh.
So it's brand new art, brand new cut. Some of the lettering has changed. We put a few more Easter eggs in there that I wanted to get in there. We weren't going to get into the originally the first time we did the book. So this is all new book. From my perspective, it's all brand new. Like it's not the same book at all. It's different.
Okay, so you made the early editions of the Edge collectible, huh?
Right. Right. So if anyone is interested in any of those original copies of the Edge, I've got a bunch of them.
What you should do is, like, if somebody orders the Edge, give them both of them and say, you know, now you can see where it came from.
Right. Kind of. Well, I mean, that's a good idea, because what I was planning to do is when we launch in stores in March, I was going to go live on TikTok or Facebook or something and just go over both books at the same time and say, see, this is why we changed this, or this is why we did this instead, or see this in the background here? We snuck that in there just because we needed to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing to do. That's, if you're an artist and you're learning and getting started, it's good to sit down with somebody and they say, well, see, I didn't do it this way because this, or I moved this over this way for a good reason, and then they pick that up. So that's good stuff. Now, you've got at least a double-page spread of all the characters that you created, if I'm remembering correctly. And are they going to get to see that in the Edge, or is that going to be a while coming?
We've got that triple cover. Is
yeah.
That yeah. Yep. Yeah. That is a get it from me item. So okay. I have copies of the three books where you can line them up all together and you get that whole entire spread image.
Hmm.
Those are like exclusive to a few stores also. So I believe that Encased Comics has it and Watchtower Comic has that. And then it's sprinkled around a few stores in Pittsburgh.
Cool. Very cool. Cause have you ever sat and counted how many characters you come up with?
We actually did that, roster, and I think the count was 47.
Wow.
But then since we've done that, there's been about 10 more characters added to the roster. So we're actually getting ready to work up a new roster page.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. See, because I, you know, creativity is great fun. I like to see, you know, what kind of characters you come up with and what, and, you know, what that reflects about what you want to do with the stories and mm-hmm. things like that. That's great fun to see. So that's fun to see. I remember when I saw that page, I went, wow. And I actually tracked down some of the characters I particularly liked, which is super cool. You know,
And the great thing about it is that every character is going to have their specific due in the book. So we're just not throwing characters up on a roster and they'll never get seen. So all these characters are going to be seen and used.
Good. That's great. Now you're starting over from number one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now that's the new number. The number one is kind of a revised or an updated.
What was I calling it? 1.1.1.
Okay. Now, so moving from here though, are you going to reprint the ones or are you going to rework the issues as we go?
Well, we're going to just, so issue one was the only one that I think was giving us problems. So the rest of the issues won't be changed.
How many issues have you done so far?
We are right now finishing up issue 14.
Wow. Okay. So are they going to come out monthly? How are you going to do that?
So that's a bit of contention because when I joined up with Second Sight, our plan was to do quarterly. Well, my plan was to do quarterly, and I should have probably not said that. Somebody should have called me out and say, hey, why are you going to do that? We're so far ahead that we can do it. So issue two will be in the May previews, and after that, we'll be going bi-monthly.
Okay, great. Now, are you going to edit stuff, or are you going to keep them the same?
I think I want to make a few small changes along the way. It's not going to be anything more than some sound effects and maybe a few fix-ups in the colors. We did a little fix-up on the colors on issue two.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. It's good to kind of see into, you know, now you get to actually go back and actually make some changes, which a lot of people say, I wish I could go back and change that. Now yeah. you're there. You can do that. That'd be kind of fun. So it's good to do. So, okay. So the Edge number one is coming out in March.
March
1.1.
Yes.
March 2. Okay. So a couple of weeks away, not far. It's going to be here. So, and then the next one will be May. Is it going to be the first week of May again?
That it'll be in previews in May. So then that'll be released. I think that would make it July.
Okay. Okay. Is it going to come out in early July, do you figure, or you're not sure at this point?
Not sure yet.
Okay. Well, you know, I hate to say it, just because Diamond puts it in there, there's no way to really know.
I think it's that. Hold on. I want to say just before 4th of July.
Oh, well, that'll be good.
So I want to say that Wednesday before 4th of July.
Okay. Well, that'll be good. So first, usually it'll be the first week of the month.
Right. Oh, no, there's no. So the 7th. It should be the 7th.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
Well, early month then. Early in the month. That'll be handy. Okay. Well, that'd be good to do. And are you going to collect trades as you go, like a certain number of issues?
Yes. We're actually working on doing a Kickstarter for the trade.
Oh, cool. Now, you've done Kickstarters before, right?
I did a Kickstarter under the previous publisher, but I've never done one just for the Edge. So this will be my first one doing it just for the Edge.
Oh, good. Well, you got a little experience, so you can draw on that.
Yes.
You do it.
So I've got plenty of help.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Now, well, why don't we talk about Second Sight a little bit? What was it about Second Sight that attracted you to kind of come and join their group?
I saw that it was a good group of guys, Marcus Roberts and Bradley Golden and Spike Jarrell. And I think that what was going on with COVID and the pandemic, and I thought it was an opportunity to spread out. I mean, when COVID hit, I was actually getting ready to do a release party at the local comic shop here, New Dimension, for issue 10. And that kind of shattered everything that I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a little chance to think about how to get this book into more people's hands and how to push it forward. Mm-hmm. And Second Sight was gearing up to push forward on a lot of stuff and get into the stores. And without conventions and without being able to get in front of people and talk about the book, I thought that the stores were the best option, where even though if we can't get to talk to the customers directly, we get to talk to the store owners who then can talk to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it became an option of, I mean, not, I want to say that futility or like desperation, but just a chance to grow the book and grow our skills and just get the book in front of more people. And it really helped. It really was an explosion. And I'm really glad that we joined up with Second Sight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good because I've interviewed, let's see, I'm trying, it's Aaron from Book of Lyaxia a couple of weeks ago, and I had fun doing that. That was a great interview, and a very creative fantasy kind of book, which is very different from yours. Yours is superheroic, and there are some companies that specialize like in science fiction or some specialize in something else. The Second Sight, what is it that makes a book a Second Sight book?
I think it's the gamut of everything. So Second Sight has horror. You got the sci-fi. You got the fantasy. You've got drama. I mean, we're covering all the bases at Second Sight. I mean, there's going to be kid friendly books coming out. So it's not just a company that's going to be based around a specific genre of book where you can get locked into that stuff. It's going to be covering all the bases so that when a customer sees Second Sight on the shelf at their local comic shop, it's going to be that whole entire realm of everything. It'll have everyone. There'll be something for everyone.
Hmm.
Okay. Which like you have like your those streaming services now where you've got to open up the whole world just to keep people coming back for more.
Right. Right. Is Second Sight largely based in Pittsburgh?
Second Sight, they're based out of Bradley Golden's home, where he's in Mississippi.
Mississippi, okay. Okay, so, these days with the internet, because like the comic that I'm the editor of, the letterer, the writer, and the artist have never, and the colorist have never all been in the same room together.
Right. I mean, that's like that with my book, because we got Mark, he's in the Philippines, and colorist is in Mexico, and the letterer is in, I think he's in Idaho. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the power of the internet. And, mm-hmm. It would almost be impossible to do these things without it. I mean, it's one of those things where if we see something, we need something changed, you send that file to a person and you've got it back within hours. And mm-hmm. that's not days of mailing. Somebody made a mistake. We got to put it back in the mail and send it back to them so they can make that fix.
Right. Of course, Marvel originally had the bullpen where everybody was in the same room.
Right.
And that's how they did stuff. And of course, nowadays, good luck on that one. But because, it's really fascinating. It's funny you said that somebody's in the Philippines, because in my book, the colorist is in the Philippines, mm-hmm. Liesl Buenaventura, the book that I work on. I can't say it's my book. It's the book that I'm the editor of. Writers in Florida, colorist in the Philippines. Artist just moved. I think he's still in North Carolina. He's in Georgia or something like that. He's moved up to that area. And I think the letterer is in South Carolina, if I remember correctly.
But that's the whole entire fun thing of it, is that you're not locked in. Because when I was first working on this book, I was like, oh, because I'm in Pittsburgh, right? So you got the Artist Institute of Pittsburgh in here. So go down there and try to find an artist. But then, that's challenging. You can't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me look at your portfolio. They probably look at you like, who are you?
Yeah, that's right. See, that's where cons are helpful. Yes. You can run into people and you can look at their portfolios. You can, get to know people, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Of course, Zoom has kind of replaced all that these days. But people do Zoom calls all the time. So it's just an interesting thing. I have a group of friends that because I'm living in Florida these days, and the people that I was a Star Trek club or science fiction club that I knew up in Maryland. And every couple of weeks we get together like on a Saturday night on Zoom and talk, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Cause it's just like, it saves me having to fly all the way up there and trying to do it, especially now with COVID and everything. It's probably safer.
Well, that's good thing. Right. I mean, we're pretty much in a position where, if you go somewhere, you've got to put your mask on. And then, like, when I come back, I've got a whole routine where I dump my clothes, I drink something hot, and then I have to take a shower. So it's this whole entire thing where, and I mean, it's not the situation where I come in and I'm like, oh, I need to lay down for a minute before I get started on stuff. Like, no, I got to do my routine because, I haven't caught it. So, I mean, it must be doing something.
That's right. Something's working.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So how did you find Second Sight? I'm just sort of curious.
They had posted on Facebook that they were looking for books. So, I just gathered up all my resources and everything and submitted to them.
Hmm. Interesting. Because a lot of people do these kind of things through connections. Mm-hmm. You know somebody in Second Sight and they kind of introduce you. Kind of stuff.
There's a little mix in that, but I mean, you still have to go through the submission process. I've submitted, I've done a lot of submissions over the years, and some people respond to you and say, hey, no, we don't like that, or you don't get a response at all. I much prefer somebody to tell me to get lost and just ignore me.
Well, the best thing to think to say is to say, well, that doesn't fit our perspective or our way we're going to do it.
I mean, I've heard that from a few publishers, and I mean, I've gotten all the way into the door to have a contract with others, and then things didn't work out. So, it is what it is. And then we just keep pushing ahead until we find where we need to go. We find a home, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to wrap up a couple of things on the edge though. You've got what you said, 16 issues coming.
We are just now finishing up issue 14.
Okay. How many issues do you plan to have in the Edge?
When I was originally writing the book, I had it planned as a finite book where eventually everyone falls over and dies. But since like, since I've gotten such good feedback from people and people are really liking what's going on, I've decided to push it further. I mean, I eventually want to branch out and do other things, but maybe I'll do them and the Edge at the same time, or maybe I eventually say, okay, that's enough. And I mean, I don't want it to go to the point where it's like a TV series that goes four seasons past where it should have ended.
I was thinking of just such a show when you were saying that. We probably shouldn't name names, but there was a show that was supposed to only last a year.
Yes.
And when you got to the end of the year, suddenly they were faced with something they hadn't considered. They got renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Then what were they going to do? And it was never the same.
Right.
After that, they should have just said, that's it.
You have to plan for an end.
Yeah.
And you have to organically get to that end, and you can't force an ending. And you can't force it past an ending, because you're eventually going to run out of ideas, and then it's going to be, oh, we need a monster of the week, or we need to add all these new characters to keep the show fresh.
Mm-hmm. Because Smallville was like that, the kryptonite monster or kryptonite power or something of the week. And then they finally let that go and went off to do other things. And that's a better way to do things, I think. So, but you already have an end in mind, though.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a good thing.
Yes. I mean, like I said, it has grown so much over the years that eventually things are going to be so daunting and so much trouble that we're going to have to get help from other like indie characters. We're going to have to bring other indie characters in to help. Okay. So that's something to look forward to. Like I said, that everything between these chapters in these books, or everything in these arcs, is about escalating things up. So you go from a single villain to a group of villains to a guy who can't be stopped, like a Juggernaut type character. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And eventually the character is going to be like, the heck, man, I just want to take a nap. Everything we do just causes some other problem.
That'd be funny, because superheroes are often like that.
Mm-hmm.
They keep ending up with worse and worse problems. And then, you know, that it reminds me a little bit of Murder, She Wrote. You know, mm-hmm. the Jessica Fletcher was always around. There was a murder going on. And finally someday, when they said, hey, you're the murderer. You're everywhere you go, right? There's a murder. And I thought that was a wonderful bit of writing. I sat there and said, yes, somebody paid attention to what they're doing. I think that's great. So, it's an interesting thing because, okay, I'm going to talk about a book that's out right now. And I'm sorry, Marvel. Oh, yeah. It's this Immortal Hulk.
Yes.
I still buy it. I don't know why. The first five issues were great. They were stories about the Hulk being this creature that came out at night and took care of really evil, nasty people. And then suddenly it's like somebody said it, and Marvel said, wait a second, we can't do that. So suddenly the Avengers showed up. Of course, it's the Hulk's book. The Hulk beats the Avengers. And mm-hmm. all these things kept going on. And now it's got to the place where I don't think probably the writer would disagree with this, but it feels to me like they don't know what to do, because they've taken the She-Hulk now as suddenly Immortal Hulkized, and even every Gamma character has been Hulkized. And I buy it and I go, I don't know. You know, they had a thing with this where Spider-Man was there with the Hulk, and it was just a, you know, it was typical Spider-Man. He's the good guy. Hulk's bad guy, you know, and here he is consoling the guy. And suddenly he gets irradiated and he starts to be towards a bad guy. But of course, in the end, he goes back to being a good guy. And I just sat there and went, why did I just read 60 pages, however many pages, it felt like 60 pages, to get to this place? And it's going to be interesting, because how do you keep one-upping yourself? That's the thing that's going to be interesting to see with the Edge. You know, how do you maintain the Edge as it is?
Well, that's where I mean with the escalation piece, is that when I escalate, it means that I'm bringing in a new challenge to the team. Mm-hmm. Where what they did the first time isn't going to work the second time, and it's definitely not going to work the third time. So it's all about them changing their tactics up and learning to gel as a team, because through the first five or nine issues, They're not really a team. It's a bunch of individuals who are trying to work together, but they don't know what they're doing, because it's not like your typical team book where it's like, oh, we've been training all these years and it's a perfect cohesion. We know what's in each other's heads, or we know that if I jog left, he's going to jog right. Sometimes they jog right and run into each other. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes when they're in the middle of a fight, their powers don't work like they're supposed to, or maybe their powers work too much than they want to. Or maybe the one guy's upset or mad and he's pissed off at the world and he just wants to hurt everybody.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you're going to go different places, yes. Which is good. See, that's another thing that bothers me at comics. And I appreciate that in your writing, that you go somewhere you haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes I literally sit there and I go, didn't we just see this like 10 issues ago? And I go back and pull back. And sure enough, there's that same story.
Mm-hmm.
Some tweaks to it and stuff, but it's still there. But, you know, some of us pay attention to these books.
Right. Well, I mean, that we know that reminds me of is like pro wrestling,
mm-hmm.
where you've been watching it for so long since I think I started watching it before the 90s even started, like before the NWO and all that other stuff, where it's the same storylines they were using. So you know what's going to happen because, like, this is the same storyline they used 10 years ago. It's going to end the same because they don't have any new ideas, because they're boiled into this. What worked before will work again.
Right.
So that's what you get with a lot of the comics that have been around for 30 or 40 or 60 years. It's boiled into this. Oh, so I mean, it's the Phoenix. Right. Like, how many times are you going to bring the Phoenix back before it just becomes redundantly silly and you can't, there's anything new you can add to it. And then if you try to add something new to it, it's going to be something silly because the character is overblown.
Yes. See, that's the thing. I mean, how many times have they brought the Phoenix back? I mean, mm-hmm. I literally, when I say, oh, must be that time of year again when they bring the Phoenix back because, you know, Rise from the Dead and all that stuff, usually I figure fall. Mm-hmm. That's when they could do, or spring or something like that. But your characters are different. The thing I appreciate is you're conscious of those things. And so you don't go down those same well-worn paths.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and it's because that I'm dealing with characters that don't have any clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. They don't know that these powers they have it's not a boon for them. It's a curse. I have this Revenant character just run around just messing everything up. I mean, he's that character that people really like him, and I can't allow them to like him. It's like again making another analogy with wrestling. It's that heel character that becomes popular and then they turn him into a good guy.
Mm.
And I'm never going to do that ever. And if he's ever in a position where he has to work with the good guys, he's trying to figure out a way to snake him so that he can get his way. And then he can, like, he's the ultimate, you know, I always call him like an opportunist and an escapist. Hmm. So he's going to put himself into the position, act like he's helping someone, and then leave them in the lurch. Like he does it in one of the issues where he's fighting alongside one of the characters and he's like, why am I helping this guy? And he just leaves. Mm-hmm. He just walks away from the whole situation. Like, he's like, I can run out this door right now and get out of here unscathed, while I'll just let this guy cover me while I leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because your awareness of that makes the books, is one of the strengths of the book, is makes it something interesting to read to keep going with that. So that's cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it's going to be great reading and great fun to look on all those good things. So now we were going to talk a little bit about some of the other Second Sight publications that are out. We talked about Book of Lyaxia, and I did mention I think it's a really great fantasy as far as that goes. It's got lots of interesting little twists to it. So I do recommend that book, because I did talk with Aaron, the writer, a few episodes back. If you want to go back, check a couple episodes back or so. He's back there, and we had a good talk about that.
Okay.
Now, Chess is a book that I actually encountered at a Daytona Beach convention down here in Florida. The writer is a somebody from down here, and he was doing a Kickstarter at the time, and I picked up I bought a book or two from him, and then mm-hmm. I supported his Kickstarter. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So Chess is, they're pretty much a gun for hire team. So they do sort of like, if you want to say like they're what we consider them like the dreadnoughts from G.I. Joe, where it's the highest bidder and they'll work for anyone. I mean, they're not taking sides. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the members of that team, Blowtorch, will have his own book coming out also. So these are the books that are in the currently in preview. So Chess, Blowtorch, Duplicate, and Freak Show Night are currently in previews. And those books come out in April. So with Chess, since they're a paramilitary team and I've got sort of a paramilitary team, we're going to be doing something later on.
Wow.
There's going to be a little mingling going on with the Edge and Chess.
That's fun. I always love when there's crossovers and stuff because then you get to see something you can't see anywhere else. Right. The character's doing something like that. So that's going to be great. Now Duplicant is one of the ones up there. Now, what can you tell me about Duplicant?
So what I was saying before is that that we have all these different genres. I would consider Duplicant as a drama and a thriller. So it's about a guy, Matt Travers, the scientist who creates duplicate organs that save humanity from, or there's a contagion that causes organs to fail. So, there's a high cost to it, of course, like no one's getting anything for free. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much that you can't pay it off. So you become an indentured servant to this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's trippy. And I mean, it's one of those things that I think that people are really going to grasp onto because it's so different than anything that's out there. I mean, I would compare it to like a movie called, there was a movie, with Jude Law, where they were, Repo Men. If you've seen that movie where they work for a company that they give people transplants of brand new organs. And then if the person can't pay, they get a lease. And then if they can't pay the lease, they come and take the organs. It really is a really good, it's him. The guy that played in Ghost Dog, I can't remember his name right now, but they're pretty much going out and just like, if you had a heart, they're taking the heart away from you. So it's pretty much, they're killing people to take these organs back because it's a lease. So I would compare it similar to something like that, where it's just madness where eventually these people are going to revolt on this kind of stuff and it's not going to be pretty.
Okay. Wild stuff. Now, when I look at the Second Sight website, which I think is secondsightpublishing.com.
Yes.
There's a, when it says the books that's coming out in early March, it lists another one. I don't know. I found a little information on it called Lady Freedom.
Yes.
Do you know much anything about that? What's going on with that?
That is another superhero title. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, and let me get to my little pad here that has my notes on it.
Because according to the internet, Arthur Belfield is the writer and Spike Jarrow is the artist.
Yes.
On this
one. this book is basically this is pretty much the kickoff to what's like a superhero universe within Second Sight, the Freedomverse. So it's a Native American U.S. Army sergeant that volunteered for what's called the Freedom Fighter Program. So you know, it's pretty much your super soldier program, Captain America, where she gains these amazing abilities and then it's going to protect the entire world. So we have some things planned there with Lady Freedom and the Edge also. So it's going to be this whole entire universe of things popping off and just having a lot of fun with these books and trying to bring it back, like I said, back to the word of the 90s where it was fun. The books were fun. We're not trying to hit people over the head with themes and things like that. There's stuff there, but it's in the background. It's not up in front of you. We're not on Twitter telling people, hey, you need to read my book because it's got all this nuance to it. I mean, I want the readers to read the book and say, hey, is he really talking about that or is he not talking about that? It seems like he's talking about it. Let me go ask.
Well, I do miss books that are more fun. We went through that morose period where everybody was sitting around discussing their bad feelings and why everything was so awful for them and stuff. So what I always have to do I always get a kick out of when something is a little more fun. There's a little more adventure is the word I like to use. And I like adventure. I like characters. There. Of course, the interesting thing about Lady Freedom, of course, she being a more diverse character, a woman and a Native American, that's going to give some influence on her character. So that should be some – that'll be fun to read.
Right. I mean, and that's where we're looking at, because, like you said, with Chess and the Edge, and it's all about different people experiencing things differently. And, I mean, one of the things that I – like to do with the book is give somebody something, make it their most powerful, most powerful possession, and then take it away from them and see how they react.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do with one of the characters. We're going to take his powers away from him.
Okay.
And then we're going to challenge him to say, you've got no powers anymore. What are you willing to do to get them back? And it's going to be a profound change for this character. I mean, I don't want to say he's going to become a villain. He's not going to be himself, and it's not going to be fun for him, for the team, or for the readers, because we're going to run this guy through the mud.
Now, there's one other book that I looked at the website. I saw there's something, a trade paperback called Leave On the Light.
Yes. So that's a horror title, supernatural horror. So it's in the vein of your slasher, Freddy Krueger's, Jason story. I would hope that people would have picked this up, because this was published through Excalibur already.
Okay.
So those single issues are probably just still out there. I mean, they may be a little bit more on the pricier side because the book came out so a while ago, but now you'll be able to pick it up all in this trade. It's Leave On a Light is a really excellent book. And there's going to be a few other horror titles coming out. There's a book that's coming out that's going to be like a love letter to Chucky with a killer doll.
Okay.
So like I said, the second site is running the gamut on making sure that when you walk into that comic shop or you open that previews, you're going to see diverse people, diverse titles, diverse characters, and just try to give something that for everyone to read and not just trying to lock into a single genre. Okay. And try to see, well, this company is doing it like this. So we want to just do something different and just bring a whole entire world, the whole world to readers.
Okay. Well, sounds great. Now, of course, I said the website is secondsightpublishing.com. You can catch up on some good things there. Now, as far as like people following you on social media, how about you, Marvin?
I am at The Edge Comic on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Marvin Nguyen, because as I like to say whenever I talk to people, someone's sitting on at The Edge Comic and like they've never posted to it. And I've tried to get in contact with Twitter to say, hey, why don't you just let me have that? And it hasn't happened yet. So, I mean, I've changed my name on there to at The Edge Comics. So that should help people to find me if you're on Twitter.
Okay. That's good. Now, of course, we talked about The Edge. Are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
Right now, I am 157,000% locked into The Edge. I want to get to a really good spot in the story before I start. I've got ideas on other things. Like I've got some sci-fi stuff I want to do. I'm going to try my hand at a little bit of horror. So I'm going to expand out, but I'm having so much fun with The Edge and Mark is having so much fun drawing it. I don't want to distract him with something else yet, just right now.
Okay. That's good. Now you actually have a website for The Edge Comic. I notice. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So that is a passion project that I want to actually sit down and finish building out. So it's theedgecomic.com. Right now, I've built it on Wix, but I'm going to move to its own. Once I'm done building the whole thing out, I'm going to move it to its own permanent domain, and then I'm going to open up the – I do have a reader's list for a mailing list that I am slowly building out. So once it's on its own permanent domain, I've got the site where I want it at. Because there's a lot of stuff in there that needs to be filled in. I've got character sections that aren't finished. I've got book sections that aren't finished. So a lot of work to be done before I consider it really live.
Okay. Well, if somebody wants to get a hold of The Edge and say their store didn't get it, can they go through the website and get it?
Yes, the book will once Second Sight gets their store and everything set up, you'll be able to buy books from there. And we're also going to have exclusive covers and other stuff available from the website.
Okay, very good. Well, Marvin, you do great stuff, and I'm looking forward to these good things. I got a chance to read some of these early ones, so I can endorse them. They're really good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Great unexpected things happen, which I love. I enjoy that very much. The variety of characters always gets me, too. I think that's always a great thing about them. So,
oh, yeah, and they're all, and like I said, that Mark and I are always spitballing on adding new characters to the roster. And, I mean, it's going to be some powered, some non-powered, but we're going to have just a wide range of different characters. And I want everyone to have a favorite character, and just know that once it becomes your favorite character, I'm going to do something dirty to him.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.